Good morning. Welcome to Dunning Park Bible Chapel, especially all those of you who are visiting, family and friends of some of our young people that were baptized this morning. So if you're visiting with us this morning, this is a great day to visit, right? What an awesome thing to see young people taking a stand and taking that step in their walk with the Lord, where they're willing to stand up in front of their world, right, their circle of influence, and say that I've decided to follow Jesus. So, and following Jesus is exactly what we have been talking about and will be talking about this morning. We're continuing on in our series in Ephesians, and so it's actually very appropriate that we had the baptism during this portion of our series in Ephesians, because last week we talked about our walk with the Lord and the ways that we used to live and the ways that we ought to be living if we're a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to continue along that same line. This title is A New Morality, and we're going to discuss this morning that for those of us who've decided to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that there is a process that takes place. The fancy word for it, the biblical word for it, is sanctification. But it's this process by which we grow in our relationship with the Lord, in becoming more like Jesus, more like the example he left us when he was here. And it is a process. I want to stress that this morning, as we did last week, that by no means do we say, you know what, the Bible talks about me having sin, being a sinner. The Bible talks about Jesus being a Savior. And we come to Christ and we decide to accept that gift of salvation, right? We put our trust in him as our Savior. But while some things for some of us change very drastically when we realize we've been forgiven, right? When we realize that we're a new creation in Christ, some things change very quickly. For a lot of our lives, we will spend constantly growing in the Lord. And what does that mean? We constantly grow in the Lord means that we realize periodically throughout our lives, hopefully because we're in our Bibles, we realize new things that we need to change. New things that we need to change to become more Christ-like. Less like, as the Bible uses the term, less like the old man, and clothing ourselves with the new man, okay? Once we're saved forever, okay? So we're not talking about following rules and becoming a different person in hopes to gain and earn heaven. We can't gain and earn heaven. That's why God sent Jesus. So this is not earning our place in the kingdom of heaven. This is growing to become more Christ-like while we're here, so that we can reflect Christ to the world around us, so that other people can come to Christ. So we're going to look at that this morning. Let's open with a quick word of prayer, and we will get started. Father, we're very thankful. I'm very thankful to be here this morning. Lord, just to rejoice at watching young people publicly announce that they have decided to follow your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That, in and of itself, is a sermon and reason alone to be here. Thank you for the time of remembering your Son this morning at the first service and the price he paid for us on the cross. And we thank you now that we are able to open your word freely and without fear and take a look at how we can grow to become more like your Son and to bring honor to you. Thank you for saving us and bless us during this time now. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So we have a lot of ground to cover this morning. A lot of ground to cover. And so I hope that none of the family who came to visit made lunch reservations anywhere. You might want to start making phone calls. No, I'm kidding. I'll get you out of here on time. But we do have a lot to cover. And it's important to remember a couple of things. That all of this is in a context. So I gave you got up there on the screen, you got a block of verses. And then throughout our time, you know, it gets broken out into more blocks of verses because we're trying to pick it apart. We're trying to unpack it a little bit so that we can understand what it means. But even though we're going to unpack it that way, broken out, it's all part of one context of the whole letter of Paul to the Ephesians and in this section. So a lot of these thoughts and ideas are going to flow together as one big group. It's important that we remember to look at it that way. So we'll walking in love, living in light, walking in wisdom, and filled with the Spirit. So last week we ended off at verse 28. Verse 29 picks up a section in the book where Paul's going to start talking to them about their speech. Paul's going to start talking to them about their speech. And so this sort of ties in with everything that we're doing this morning about our new morality. As believers, as Christians, if we made that choice to follow Jesus, we should have a different and be learning and growing in a different set of morals, a different set of standards than what we had before we knew Christ. Now, if you knew Christ as a child and you've sort of been raised in a Christian home and everything else like that, and you might say to yourself, well, I don't really remember some old morality. Okay, those of us who came to Christ a little later in life do. But even if you grew up in a Christian home and you trusted Christ at a very young age, we are still talking about a new morality and a different morality from that of the world. So he starts off talking about speech. This is one that makes a lot of us cringe. This is one that makes a lot of us cringe. Because our speech, we all understand that words are very powerful. Okay, with words, we can be a blessing to people. We can be an encouragement to people. And it doesn't even have to be in some overt spiritual conversation. I can make the day of the guy bagging my groceries at the grocery store, right? With just a little bit of graciousness and kindness and a little bit of attention paid. Those words are powerful things. And words also are just as powerful for us to cause hurt, for us to cause hurt in other people. Our speech is one of the biggest ways in which we, as Christians, ought to be distinguished from everybody else in the world around us. However, as Christians, we tend to have two problems. When Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." When Paul writes that to the Ephesian church, as believers, as Christians, we tend to think of that as, especially in Western culture today, we tend to think of we're just going to avoid using certain words, right? We're going to avoid using words with less than five letters, and we've covered not letting any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. Now, please, especially if your kids are in the room, avoid using words with less than five letters, right? There are certain things that we should avoid. We should be people who avoid profanity, okay? And that's addressed here in Ephesians, and it's addressed in other places, that Christians are not people who should be given to the profane. But we fail to realize that we're not just limited to avoiding certain words when we're talking about unwholesome talk. And he gives us the what that means right at the end of that sentence. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And then in 5:1 and 2, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Okay, so what is unwholesome talk? He tells us what unwholesome talk is in two different ways here. First, he starts by what it isn't. Okay. When we are avoiding unwholesome talk, it's because when we're avoiding one thing, we're doing something different as a believer in its place. When we're avoiding a sinful way, we replace that with a holy and godly way. just like we talked last week about how we're not just putting off the old man, as in stop doing all this stuff, and that's what Christianity is. We are putting off the old man because we've been saved, and we are growing and putting on the new man. We are becoming more like Christ. Paul uses that analogy, clothing ourselves with Christ. In the same way here, when we are avoiding unwholesome talk, it's because we are focusing on what our speech should be. And our speech is conduct. Again, it's not just avoiding certain words. Our speech is conduct. It is who we are to those around us. The things that come out of my mouth and the things that I do are the definition of Dave Erickson to everyone around me. Okay? That's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, right? So we should be focusing on being somebody who builds others up according to their needs. Okay? Getting rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So I said the first mistake we made about unwholesome speech is that we think of it as just avoiding certain words, and then we're okay. When really it's not avoiding certain words, it's avoiding certain types of speech, bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. Now, nobody in this room has ever done any of that, so I'm sure I can move on quickly, because you're like me, and I'm the preacher, and everybody knows the preacher's perfect. So the second mistake we make, though, as Christians, when it comes to unwholesome speech, is the way we deal with one another in the body of Christ. Because we think of unwholesome speech as just being certain words that we're going to avoid, and then we're okay, we fail to realize that what Paul is saying here is that we are to be focusing on building others up according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. That it may benefit those who listen. Our disposition, and he says, be kind to one another and compassionate, forgiving, just as in Christ the Lord forgave you. Our disposition to the people around us, especially in the body of Christ, is directly related to God's disposition to us. Okay, we heard in the first service this morning a lot about our condition apart from Christ, and a lot of praise and remembering our new condition in Christ, and the compassion and mercy and grace that the God of all the universe showed to a sinner who didn't deserve it. And yet we often mistreat one another drastically in the body of Christ. Paul talks about getting rid of anger and brawling and slander. Okay, when we let anger, we talked about that last week, if we let anger and resentment build within us, that we're sinning against our brother or sister in Christ. That anger builds and that resentment builds and it vents itself in our speech. Paul talks about, let us make, in Romans chapter 14, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. This is a quote from Matthew Henry. By bitterness, wrath and anger are meant violent inward resentment and displeasure against others. And clamor, big words and loud threatenings and other intemperate speeches by which bitterness, wrath, and anger vent themselves. Christians should not entertain these vile passions in their hearts and not be clamorous with their tongues. As believers, what do we need to do here? What's the answer? What do we do with this passage? Okay. First of all, we need to take a good look at ourselves and think about the speech that we're using. Now, if your speech regularly involves the profane, then we need to repent of that. We need to turn away from that and not speak that way. And we're going to look at some other speech issues in the next passage in Living in the Light. But one thing that we need to recognize is that if we are gossiping, if we are slandering, if we're harboring wrath and anger and speaking maliciously against our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are sinning in this area of unwholesome talk. Because if I'm angry with my brother in Christ, if I'm frustrated with him, if I'm just at my wit's end, right? and I'm going to another brother or sister in Christ, and I'm just going on and on and on and on against that brother with whom I'm frustrated. I'm speaking maliciously against that brother. I'm slandering that brother, and I'm sinning in unwholesome speech because I am not edifying. Edifying, that's what that building up, that's that word edifying. It means to build up. I'm not building up that brother or sister to whom I'm speaking. I'm tearing them down to my same rotten attitude level. And I'm sinning against that other brother because I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what Scripture tells me to do, which is to go to that brother and be reconciled instead of harboring all this stuff up. So that's one way in which we need to take a hard look sometimes at ourselves. Okay? So gossip and slander and all those kinds of things, that all falls under unwholesome talk. Now, does that mean the only thing we can ever talk about with one another are biblical things? No. But we need to take a hard look at our speech because it is who we are to other people. And does our speech reflect, does my speech reflect the fact that I'm born again, I'm a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a tough one. That is a tough one. Living in the light. So carrying on with the with this section in Ephesians, it says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity." Now we're going to get into some speech things again here. "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Okay, so we're talking about having a new morality, a new set of moral principles as a believer, and quite frankly, a biblical set of moral principles as a believer. So we talked about walking in love and the way that we, in our speech and conduct with other believers. And we talked about the reason for that, that because our disposition is toward them is based on Christ's disposition towards me. So I should be gracious. I should be forgiving. I should be merciful just as the Lord's been merciful to me. Now, when we're talking about living in the light and not in darkness, he says there shouldn't even be a hint of any sexual immorality or impurity or of greed, because these are not proper God's holy people. And then he talks about obscenity and foolish talk and coarse joking. So, does that mean that Christians can't laugh and joke? No. Does that mean that we can't have fun and be mirthful and enjoy one another's company? No, it does not. But what happens is, in our speech, again, we talked obscenity, we talked about the profane, foolish talk or coarse joking. Coarse joking meaning hurtful or harmful things or comments made about others. And when he talks about there not even being any hint of sexual immorality, this is still in that passage on speech, right? So yes, we understand that Paul would warn against gross acts of sin, visible, obvious acts of sin, but says that in our speech and in our conduct, there shouldn't even be a hint of sexually immoral things, of sexual immorality or of impurity. And he says that no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That doesn't mean that if you've ever done one of these things, you're just absolutely not going to heaven. Okay? What that means is that people who live in this way, immoral, impure, greed, right, just constant lust for more things, more indulgence, or sexual immorality, that people who live this way need to take a good hard look at their life, because nobody who's a Christian, who's born again, who's a new creation in Christ, should be living that way without conviction. Okay? Without any conviction whatsoever. I can live sexual impurity, I can be greedy, I can be immoral, and I can call myself a Christian, and I'm just unfazed by it. Paul is saying, no, if you're a Christian and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you should be deeply grieved and have conviction over these things if and when they happen in your life. So he says, don't be partakers with those people. And now he talks about, for you were once in darkness. Okay, new morality. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So again, the new person versus the old. The new nature versus the old man. That we were once in darkness, but now you live as children of light. So when we're talking about speech, we're talking about unwholesome speech, and we're talking about putting off that wrath and anger, right? That clamor and malice in our speech, which is the venting of this malice and anger that's been building up in us. Putting off the profane, putting off obscenity. And he moves into talking about being in light and darkness. And talks about things that are in the light are visible and things that are in darkness are hidden. In Ephesus, which is where Paul was writing, as in a lot of the Roman world of that time, the sinful things, right, the drunkenness and the sexual immorality and all of those sorts of things were so widespread and so common, not unlike the society that we live in today, right? But Paul is warning these Christians that you can't have this air of piety and say that you're a Christian and say that you're in Christ, but then do these hidden things as though they're done in secret. See, that sin, that sinful activity, there's a drive that those things are hidden, right? That sin doesn't want to be exposed. Most of us would not want to stand up in front of the room right now and say, these are the areas in my life in which I'm sinning right now. Right? This is something that I've just been doing willfully disobedient to the Lord lately. Or this is something that I struggle with on a daily basis. Our sin wants, we want to keep that secret. We want to keep that hidden. We don't want that exposed. But the Christ, the truth of Christ as revealed in his word, is the light that exposes sin. It is the light that exposes sin. So he says, you were once in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. And so he says the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Not in this impurity, not in this profanity, not in this obscenity, or this hurtful, angry, unwholesome speech. Right? And it talks about it's shameful even to mention what they do in secret. So as I said before, he warns here not only against gross acts of sin that are open and blatant, but also those acts of dismissing the seriousness of sin through jesting about it. This is something that can and is a problem among believers, not just in Paul's time, but today. Because what we talk about when we talk about silly talk or coarse jesting, like he referred to in the previous passage, that is a group of believers. They're not committing blatant acts of sin, but they're jesting, they're joking, they're chuckling at and sort of smirking at those blatant acts of sin. Okay? It becomes part of humor. And through that humor, the seriousness of sin is downplayed. The absolute gravity of sin that Christ, God the Son, went to the cross to die for in our place, is suddenly reduced to something that we just laugh and joke about. Paul says, no, not among you, not among God's people, that it's shameful even to mention what they do in secret. So again, we have to take a look at our speech and our conduct. It's easy for us to say, well, a lot of that sexual immorality and a lot of those things or outbursts of anger and that kind of stuff, I don't do that stuff, you know, openly and blatantly. You know, I'm good there. Well, that's good. Okay, so you took a look at yourself and you realized you're not living that way openly and blatantly. But what about the fact that we are to live as light in the Lord? That we are supposed to be, as Christians, done with darkness. So now I would ask you to take a look at yourself and ask yourself, where in my walk with the Lord, where in my life right now today, do I still have the shades drawn in a couple of rooms? Okay? What are those couple of rooms where I still have the blinds closed? And I just got that little bit of darkness that I've decided that I'm okay with. That little area in my house, you know, the spare bedroom where I keep the door shut and the lights off, and I hide some of my stuff in there, and I've just sort of decided that I'm okay with that. What areas of our life do we need to go to God's Word and to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need you to convict me of what sin, what obscenity, what unwholesome thing, what profanity, what foolish, sinful talk and coarse jesting, what areas in my life am I hanging on to those things? Where have I made it okay? You know, is it in the movies that I'm watching? I didn't say it. He said it. I'm going to quote it to my friends later. But I mean, I didn't come up with that idea. That wasn't my joke originally, right? That was the guy in the movie. Is it in the jokes that we're telling or that we're willing to laugh at? See, we don't have to. We sometimes have this idea that if we live boldly for Christ in our workplace or in our schools or amongst our family, something's wrong. You know, I don't want to be holier than thou. You know, I don't want to walk around like some Bible thumper. I didn't say you had to condemn everybody around you. What I'm saying is that we are to live as light in the Lord. We are to reflect the goodness and truth of Jesus Christ to those around us by our speech and conduct. So we need to live in the light, and we need to deal with areas in our life that we are allowing to remain in darkness, that things that we are keeping hidden. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Wisdom is an interesting thing. I think everybody in the room would like to be thought of as wise. Okay? All the dads in the room and grandfathers in the room, myself included, love the thought that we would become that person in the lives of our family that we have wisdom to pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. I know that that's a guy thing. I'm sure in a lot of ways it is for the women too. I know lots of wise mothers and grandmothers, right? We would like to be thought of as being wise. All throughout the Bible, wisdom is very, very highly thought of. It is something that is sought after, and it is something that is praised as the highest level of virtue, are those who are wise. Wisest man in Scripture? Solomon, right? Sorry, I know we don't normally do Q&A. That's why nobody answered. Solomon, right? Everybody knows that Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. Okay. So be very careful how you live. Very careful. Literally translated, that is, look carefully. Look carefully, Paul says, at how you live. Be careful that you are living not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, you remember when I said that even though we're breaking this out in segments, right? We're breaking this out in segments to try and unpack it. And we're not unpacking all of it, because there's a lot there. But it all flows together. It's all one context. So we started this morning talking about unwholesome speech. What wholesome speech is and what our drive should be on how we treat people and how we represent ourselves. Because I said, the words and the speech that we use, that conduct in our life is our representation of ourselves to other people. Whereas Christians, who are we supposed to be representing above all else? We're supposed to be representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we're talking about living as wise. Well, we talked about unwholesome talk, right? We talked about being imitators of God and how we should love and have an attitude of graciousness and compassion and peace and forgiveness toward the people around us. Okay, we talked about putting off profane speech. We talked about putting off obscenity. We talked about not even joking or jesting or discussing sinful things that people do in secret, right? And then he says, be very careful then how you live. And then he talks about wisdom. Look carefully at how you live. Wisdom is what we do. Wisdom is not a head full of knowledge. I can be, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias this morning, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Ravi Zacharias. He's using a lot more of that gray matter than I'm using. Okay, there's a lot in there, right? And he's even talking about he's referencing other scientists, PhD, astrophysicist, rocket science, founder of NASA's rocket program, and Ravi Zacharias, of all people, is saying, are you listening to the credentials of this guy? If he says this guy's credentials are impressive, I'm going to go with they're impressive. If you have most of the consonants in the alphabet after your name, your credentials are probably pretty impressive, right? But that wealth of knowledge, that learned position in life, isn't wisdom. There's nothing wrong with all of that, but it isn't wisdom. We tend to think of, well, if he's like the smartest, highest IQ of anybody in the world, I mean, that's the guy I want to go to for advice. Well, no, I want to go to somebody who's wise for advice, not just somebody who's smart. Lots of people are pretty smart. We all like to think we're pretty smart. I don't know in all areas of your life if you want to ask me for advice all the time, right? You know, wisdom is what we do. See, if we understand that we're this new creation in Christ, remember, we're talking about trying to grow and become more Christ-like. We're talking about that when we use the term new morality, we're talking about putting off the old and putting on the new. And so when we're talking about speech and conduct and living in light and not in darkness, not hiding in sin and darkness, and then we start talking about, so therefore, the great connector, right? Look carefully at how you're living and live as a wise person. That's because wisdom is what we do. When we have the truth, okay? If you've heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to save you, a sinner who couldn't save yourself, because he loves you so much that he wants to offer you, if you've heard the gospel, first of all, whether you've responded or not, you've heard it. Because we believe that this is God's word. We believe that this is truth. But when we know the truth, what determines whether or not we are living as unwise people or wise people is what we do with our conduct and our speech and our disposition, and living as light. It's what we do. Are we obedient to the truth? Are we walking in obedience to the truth? Are we trying to grow? Listen, I'm not perfect. You're not, thank you for not agreeing openly. I appreciate that. I mean, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we're trying to grow up in Christ. And we can live as what God calls wise people if we live in obedience to the truth. If we change our disposition, if we walk in the morality of Scripture. So again, I started by saying, everyone in this room, I would wager, would like to be thought of as being a wise person. Well, that is an attainable goal. That is an attainable goal. If we spend our time in God's Word, and we're obedient. If we put off the old self and gradually clothe ourselves with Christ. Is that our purpose? And filled with the Spirit. Again, he continues on with conduct, right as he's talking about wisdom. And he says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to skip 21 for a second. Now, again, in Ephesus, what was going on, they worshipped the pagan gods, right? And they had a great big temple there and all this other kind of stuff. And part of the worship in the temple of this god was that these worshipers, these people, would all just get drunk, right? Big feasting, lots of drinking. And the worship that took place in this temple, the form of worship was with the temple prostitutes, okay? And they would sing and act boldly, and you know, just a big drunken party. So when he says, "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled to the Spirit and sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs," he's saying, listen, as Christians, your joy, your mirth, your merriment, the thing in which you revel should be the things of God, should be in the mercy of God, in the grace of God. Drunkenness is born out of this desire for an extravagance of mind, right? You know, people are drunk and they feel bold, right? People are drunk and they feel courageous. People are drunk and they feel merry and cheerful, and they would, you know, and sing songs and all that other kind of stuff, right? He's saying, no, as Christians, you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are to be people, again, who revel together in the things of the Lord. So you want, yeah, get together, sing songs, be mirthful, be cheerful, sing to one another songs and hymns and spiritual songs about the Lord. Again, our conduct, the new morality, not the old way, but the new way. How are we living? Okay, so you can say, well, Dave, I don't get drunk. Good. That was step one. Okay? Actually, step one is if you're doing it, stop it. Fancy word for that is repentance. It means to go the other way. So that's step one. If you're doing it, stop it. Step two, if you're not doing it, praise the Lord, be excited. But don't stretch out an arm, patting yourself on the back just yet. Because step three is the putting on of the new. And if I'm putting on the new, then my joy, I should be excited and mirthful and cheerful to gather together with my fellow believers and revel in the grace and goodness of our Lord. I have to ask you, the question that comes to my mind, studying last week about the way that we walk and the way that we live, and studying this week a lot of those same kinds of things, but looking at it from more of an inward thing, an inner person thing, and changing our thinking. The question that comes to my mind as I'm studying this is, do I care? Do I care? Because, and the reason I ask myself that question is because Paul said, you better look carefully at how you're living. And Paul said things like, people who live this way with no regard or conviction are not people who are going to inherit God's kingdom. So look carefully at how you're living. So I have to ask myself, do I care? Am I going to change? Do I want to? Or do I say a bunch of stuff? Do I do some Sunday morning things? Am I involved in different activities? All those things are great. And so I would pose the same question to you. Do you care? Do you want to be somebody who is continually putting off the old and putting on the new? Continually putting away the fleshly things. And so we say fleshly things and we think of, like I said, overt and blatant sin. Cheating on your spouse, or sex outside of marriage, or or all those kinds of things. We think about those, or drunkenness, you know, blatant drunkenness. We think about those open and blatant sins. But in my person, am I desirous to grow to become more like the Lord? We should be. So my challenge is the challenge that I pose to myself, which is I need to be somebody who regularly prays, Lord, show me what rooms I'm leaving in the dark in my life, and give me the wisdom to go in and open the blinds and let the light of your word in, make the changes I need to make so I can continue growing in my relationship with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your word, for preserving it for us. There's a lot there. Take these thoughts and words expressed, Lord, and line them up in our head in a way that makes sense. Convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted. Help us to be people who are just tenderhearted. Help us to be people who are gracious and compassionate and merciful. Keep us from being people like so many around us are, of who are just angry all the time. Help us to soften up because of you and what you've done for us. Lord, give us the wisdom to be obedient, because that is what wisdom is. Bless us now. Thank you for each one that you've brought here this morning. Thank you again for what is being celebrated today in the lives of these young people. Keep these thoughts on the forefront of our minds as we dismiss now. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.